Big hand for Val. He's doing an awesome job today. Thank you, Val.
Woo!
Thank you, Derek. And that just reminds me, I came this morning at, I've been coming at earlier than usual at 8:30 every morning, and I know some people turn up 8 o'clock to set everything up. I just want to say thank you guys for turning up consistently at 8 o'clock, 8:30 every Sunday morning. You've got families, you've got things, you've got work, and you turn up every week on time and get this done. So thank you so much. Let's give them a hand. Everyone who turns up and does that, give them a hand. It's not easy getting up early and on a Sunday morning and coming to church and serving. But you guys do it because I know you believe in God's call, and you believe what God's doing in Melbourne, and you've been called to be part of it. And so no one knows what I'm preaching on this morning, but I love how God works, because Pastor Kelly was talking about you've gone from old things to new things, and I was like, that is spot on to my message today. Old things to new things. I just want to pray first. I've been sitting on this message for a little while, and I just wanted to, I hope that it encourages you in a way that you haven't been encouraged yet. So everyone knows that the prophetic theme, who knows the prophetic theme for the year? Position for blessing. I'll give you a hint. Position for blessing. Who's been blessed this year? Who thinks they've been positioned in a way that they haven't been before, ready to launch next year? I do. So that was Pastor Bernard's prophetic theme for that he launched in January. We are now in October, 10 months later. This year's nearly finished. And I just wanted to bring a word that hopefully will position us for this final stretch of the year. This final stretch for the year. I'm privileged to know Pastor Bernard's prophetic message for next year. And I'm not telling you. But it is awesome. We are in for an amazing year, and I know Pastor Bernard's prophetic messages always seem to come about, and I know that this year has been a real positioning for Every Nation Melbourne. We've sort of relaunched on campus, we've started new things on campus, we've seen God do some amazing things just on camp. It hasn't been massive, but we've seen Him do some cool things. Even the worship team, the people who serve, new people coming, all crazy things have been going on. I just really feel like God's been, really has been positioning us for blessing, setting us up for next year. Even next year, I really already feel God suggesting about sending people out from Every Nation Melbourne to other nations, something we haven't done for a long time. And I can just see God's about to do that in us next year. Who wants to do that next year? Who wants to send out from Every Nation Melbourne? Yeah, I do. I do. Hopefully I'll get sent out. Because every time I go to plan something overseas, God's like, no, not yet. Okay, thanks God. We'll wait. So the title of my message this morning is The Voiceless Break Into Song. So I want to read from Isaiah 35, the whole scripture. I'm only going to point out parts of it, but I'm just going to read through it, and then I'm going to speak on parts of it. Isaiah 35 says, wilderness and desert will sing joyously. The badlands will celebrate and flower like the crocus in spring bursting into blossom, a symphony of song and color. Mountain glories of Lebanon, a gift. Awesome Carmel, stunning Sharon, gifts. God's resplendent glory fully on display. God awesome, God majestic. Energize the limp hands, strengthen the rubbery knees. Tell fearful souls, courage, take heart, God is here, right here, on His way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He's on His way, He'll save you. Blind eyes will be open, deaf ears unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer, the voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. Even lowly jackals will have water to drink, and barren grasslands flourish richly. There will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It's for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost in this road. Not even fools can get lost in it. No lions on this road, no dangerous wild animals, nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people God has ransomed will come back on this road. They'll sing as they make their way home to Zion, unfading halos of joy encircling their heads, welcomed home with gifts of joy and gladness as all sorrows and sighs scurry in the night. I love that scripture. I think at the beginning of the year, we had prayer and fasting, and I remember, I think this is the first time where God sort of highlighted the scripture for me, and I started to pray out the scripture at the start of the year, because it just captivated me in this way, which was just, man, God, I want this in my life. I want to take the dry seasons. I want you to take the dead things in my life and make them alive. I want you to take wherever we're at and make it come alive. I want to see this. I want to walk around with joy in my life this year. I want to understand what it is to be in love with you so deeply that every circumstance doesn't shake me. Every circumstance I see an opportunity to see you move. My impossible God, who turns dead things into things that are alive. He's the transforming God. He's the God who is famous for making the dead come alive. I was like, I want to see this in my life. I want to see joy in my life every moment. I want to see my church family with joy in their life. I want to see this city with joy in their life. In Australia, depression and anxiety is one of the highest, I think, spiritual weights on people's lives. I've experienced it. I've gone through it as a Christian, as a non-Christian. I've experienced it. And when Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free and heal the brokenhearted and to address the poor in spirit, the poor in spirit he's talking about is, he says the poor, but it's addressing the spirit. It's addressing depression and anxiety and things that hold people captive in that way. And he said, I've come to set those things free. I've come to free people from that stuff. And because I've experienced it, I know what he can do with that. I know how he can transform lives. And in Australia, although we're not poor materialistically, we have lots of things, a lot of us are poor in spirit. And I just want joy just to be, I want every nation Melbourne to be known as a people of joy, just as this scripture says, they'll sing as they make their way home to Zion, unfading halos of joy encircling their heads, welcome home with gifts of joy and gladness, as all sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. I am jumping way ahead of myself. So, I just really felt that the repositioning in these last 3 months that God wants to do in people's lives has to do with a transformation of seasons. So at the moment, you might feel like that you're in this sort of season, you're in this sort of place. And often as Christians, we like to say that we go from one season to another, and we, in our minds, we think that it's winter, so it's cold, and we're without anything, and soon it'll be summer, and God's joy and peace will be in that. When I was preparing this, I really felt God say, I transform seasons. I don't leave you there. I don't take you back. I transform you and take you ahead. I don't take you from highs to lows to highs to lows. I want you to be consistent in my joy. I want to take you to a place in growth and maturity. I'm not saying that this happens overnight or sometimes we don't do that, but he's growing us to this place where he wants you to go consistently up. I'm not saying you're not going to have bad days, but your joy days should outweigh your bad days in Jesus. They should. So when I was preparing this, I just really felt that God was saying that there is a lot of us in this, that we feel like we're in this dry place at the moment. And I just want to prophetically speak out this week that he's about to transform that dry place into a better place. He wants to take you from the dry place and transform it into this, an oasis. And for good. I was really challenged. I originally had changing of seasons, and he said, no, I want this to be a permanent transformation. As Pastor Kelly said, I've taken you from the old and I've made you something completely new. And this is what he wants to do with us in this last 3 months, I think. to prepare us for what Pastor Bernard's going to prophetically speak over us for next year, is this transformation and this positioning where he takes us from the dry place and lets us know that we live in a God of abundance and of overflow. He didn't just come and save us. He's come to transform us, that we can have access to heaven, all heavenly blessings, that we can walk around as a people full of joy, and he wants to take us to that place. He wants to transform us and mature us into that place. And so if you feel like you're in this place, it's okay. He's on his way to save you. And save is not just to just put you back on your feet again. He's going to pick you back up on your feet. He's going to dress you in nice clothes. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to encourage you. And I'm not just talking give you what you need materialistically. What you need in here. What you need spiritually. I think that's an awesome picture. I took a while to find those. I like how God thinks. He can make that desert turn into that in an instant. And that's what happened to your life when you found Jesus. You went from death to life. From death to life. And I've been giving a lot of transforming words lately. And this is why I was sort of along these lines, is because I've been coming across a lot of people, and the prophetic words I've been giving them is that God has been taking their past and saying to them, whatever happened in your past, I'm going to not only get rid of it, but I'm going to give you double back or triple back, or I'm going to transform whatever was stolen from you. I'm going to give it back in 100-fold. If you were mocked and made fun of, I'm going to speak so much love and life into you that you don't even remember those days, that you just laugh those days away, because you're going to know who your God is. And I just feel like he's just speaking this life into people, where he just wants to transform them into the people that he's called them to be. He wants them to know how he sees them. He wants you to know how he sees you. And it's not this dry place. It's not seasons of nothingness. It's not seasons of depression and things like that. I'm not saying that you might not go through that, but he wants to transform you from that. If you're feeling like that, if you've been there, he wants to take you out of that. Wilderness and desert will sing joyously. The badlands will celebrate and flower like the crocus in spring, bursting into blossom, a symphony of song and color. Wilderness and desert. So the picture there on your right is what he's saying is going to transform into a place of singing joyously. The badlands, everything bad that's gone on in your life, everything negative that's gone on in your life, he's about to flip it around. He's about to flip all the negative into a positive, into super positive. Where sin abounds, grace super abounds. Super abounds. Sin doesn't throw God off in the way that says it's defeated him. Whatever sins happen in your life, whatever bad decisions that you've made, he's like, you know what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to apply more grace, because I've chosen to love you and you can't escape that. You can't escape that. It's not about what you've done. It's about what he's done. And so I'm saying this over your life. Whatever's taken place, whatever bad things, whatever negative things have taken place, he's about to transform that and make it super positive. He's about to make it burst it, bursting into life, bursting into color. Mountain glories of Lebanon, a gift. Awesome Carmel, stunning Sharon, gifts. He's talking about territory to possess, a gift for you. When the Israelites were looking at these places and they were beautiful, Lebanon was an awesome mountain and Carmel was just a stunning flatland. And they looked over it and God's saying, I'm going to give this to you as a gift. You don't have to work for it. I'm going to give it to you as a gift. And I just feel that everything you've been working hard for, those moments you've been working hard for, God wants you to know that, yes, we work, but we don't strive to achieve that. He's going to give you these things as a gift. The promises in your life that he's spoken over to you, some of these things are going to start to become a reality in the next 3 months. Start to come alive so that he can position you for what's coming next year. You guys have done such an amazing job of being positioned for God this year, that this next three months, you don't even know what's coming next year, but he's going to position you in this next 3 months that you can fully enjoy next year, what's coming next year. So some of the promises that you've had from God, he's going to start to give to you as a gift. God's resplendent glory fully on display. God's resplendent glory fully on display, which is God's goodness. God is going to reveal how good he is to you in this next season. When he transforms whatever ideas you had about God being negative or hard on you or doesn't give you good things because of your performance, he's about to smash that. His glory is about to enter into your life in a way that you've never experienced before. And God's glory is his goodness. When God's glory comes into your life, man, you see some of God's character, which is his goodness. When Moses hid behind the rock and God's glory walked behind him, it talks about, you should look it up, it talks about God's character, which has to do with his goodness. This is how he reveals himself to you. This is how he reveals himself to you. God's awesome. God's majestic. Man. I've just put down here, he's preparing his bride. He doesn't leave it destitute. When a man goes to marry a woman, on the wedding day, the woman goes all out. The guy will spend money, or even the father gives money to the bride to make sure she's looking her best. He gives whatever he can, father and bridegroom. Gives whatever he can so that the bride is ready and beautiful for the day that they meet. The church isn't moving backwards. If we are the bride, he is making us ready for him. He is making us beautiful for him. He doesn't leave us destitute. He dresses us in the best and only the best. He wants us to experience his goodness. I'm really excited about this next season. I've already seen parts of it. I've already seen parts of it come into my life. And I want you to know that the odds are against you. Does that sound negative? The odds are against you. Maybe looks a little bit like this. God loves terrible odds. He loves terrible odds. Every book in the Bible is about a man against terrible odds. Even when Jesus was in the grave, terrible odds that he will rise again. The disciples even believed those terrible odds for a little while. He's dead. He's not coming back. Terrible odds. He's supposed to be the king. He's supposed to save us. Terrible odds. He loves them. He loves terrible odds. He laughs at terrible odds, and he wants us to be a people that laughs at terrible odds, because we know the God that's on our side. We know the God that stands with us. We know the transforming power of a God who brings the dead to life, who's in our life like that. He wants us to know him like that. He wants us to bring us into that next season where we go, man, so many terrible things are going on in my life. I just lost my job. My car just broke down. Terrible odds. My God loves it. Terrible odds. He's got a better job for me. He's got a better car for me. He's always got something better for me. That's the people he wants us to become. That's the joy I'm talking about in the midst of those circumstances. Things are going so wrong, they're about to go so right. Because I have a God on my side who can raise the dead to life. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in me. Oh, I'm going to get you excited before this is over. Energize the limp hands, strengthen the rubbery knees. Tell fearful souls, courage, take heart. God is here, right here, on his way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He's on his way, he'll save you. This is a scripture, this is what I feel like part of my job is to do, is to let you guys know that God is on his way. God is on his way. This scripture says, courage, take heart, God is here, right here, on his way to put things right. This is part of my job. This is part of our job as a family to encourage each other. When you see your brother down, you go and encourage them. you go and lift them up, you do whatever you can to make sure they get on their feet again. Do you think God's any less? We're made in His image. He's our dad. He comes and saves us. When we call out to Him, He hears us. And He comes and saves us. The odds are against you, but God loves terrible odds. I can't wait for a day when we're at church, when I have all you guys coming up to me, "Oh, Jay, man, I just lost my job today, man, but I tell you what, I can't wait. I can't wait. God has got something better for me. I can't wait." Instead of, "Pastor, pray for me. I've lost my job. My life's over." No. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. I remember, I'll tell you this testimony real quick. I remember the day that I was going to court for Madison. This day I knew God had called me to go to this. This is where I learned this lesson. This is 12 years ago. And I was, I'd been waiting for this day. And I go to get into my car and the car doesn't start. And my mum was with me at the time. She's not a believer. But she said to me, "This is a sign that you should just leave it. You should just wait until your daughter's old enough to come to you and she'll find you." And I said, no, mum. God has promised me that I will have a relationship with my daughter. I'm hanging on to that. That's what I'm going to believe. So I'm calling a cab. And I called a cab, and it was lucky I did, because the freeway was chock-a-block. And if you're in a taxi on the freeway, you go straight down the slip lane. If I didn't catch a taxi that day, I would have missed the court date, and I would have been really late. This is how God works. Sometimes things don't work out, or the enemy comes and steals something from you, and God says, "I'm going to use all things for the good of those who love me. Watch my power work in your life." But there's this little thing called faith that you need. When you hear His word, your actions have to display it. So the enemy came along and said, "Just leave it." I'm not saying my mum's the enemy, the spirit behind it. My mum's not the enemy. "Just leave it." And I said, no. I believe the word that God has said to me. This is the day that I'm going to get to see what God does in that courthouse. It's an amazing story. Come and ask me that someday. But God smashed it that day. This is the sort of people that He wants us to become. This is the story of our church. This is the story of our church. The odds were against us. You may even be looking and thinking the odds are still against us. And I just love what God did. When we moved from Box Hill to here, the option was we had to leave $20,000 worth of gear. We had to leave all of our stuff because of the deal we had with the guy we were renting the place off. Three of us got the same word. Just take the vessels that you have and move. Just take the people that you have and move. And I got excited. Do you know why? Here's why I got excited. Because there was nothing about Every Nation Melbourne when we moved from Box Hill to here that could say a man did this. Anything that happens from then on, I was like, it has to be God. Everything that takes place, it has to be God. We fill this place, only God gets the glory for that. We get a building, we get provision, we get stuff. Man, we celebrate it because we're like, man, that's a miracle. We moved with nothing. The odds were against us when we moved. But I was celebrating because I was like, God is with us. God is with us. People even said to me when I started ministry, "What are you doing, man? That's pretty risky to do that." And I said, "Oh, God loves to make dead things come alive. That's why I'm here. Because I want to be part of that. I want to be part of from the very beginning of when God takes something that was non-existent and makes it something." And that's what you guys are part of. That's what you're a part of. Tell me a joke after you. It'd be funny. Even with my own life, I remember just the other night, I'm standing in the room and I'm putting Arlo to bed. And I'm holding my son Arlo, who's my youngest. And I was like, how did I get here? This is amazing. If you guys knew me from before, I shouldn't be a dad. God, I shouldn't be a dad. I shouldn't. If you knew me before, I shouldn't be a dad. I shouldn't have all these good things in my life. I shouldn't have 3 kids in my life. I shouldn't be living. I shouldn't have an amazing wife. Man, she blows me away. My birthday yesterday. Wow. She blows me away. And I just think to myself, all glory to you, God, who loves me so incredibly that you did this for me. You're amazing. I was standing there. I started praying for my son. I was like, oh, man, God, you were so awesome. I can't believe you did this for me. But praising him and just thanking him for the inheritance that I've got in my kids and just thinking, you can take something that was dead and turn it in to what you have in my family. Anything I have is because of God. Just before I skip to that, I accidentally pressed that. the greatest story about things against the odds is Jesus. How amazing is that story? This is why God loves the odds when they're against him. Jesus, who is God, came down from heaven, left all of his throne and power and all of that sort of thing, and came down as a baby and was born in a manger. And the manger wasn't like we see in the Christmas stories, where it's all nice. It was full of manure. It stank. And he was a refugee. He was an outcast. He was illegitimate. Jesus was illegitimate, which is a big no-no in the Jewish culture. Everything about Jesus is against the odds when he came to earth. Everything. Because he wants everybody to know after him how powerful he is and what he can do against the odds. If you're sitting there and you think your life is against the odds right now, watch him blow you out of the water. Watch him in this season transform that. Because he did it in Jesus, he'll do it for you. He gave his life for you. What else wouldn't he do? He said, I faced all of the odds, against all the odds, and now I sit enthroned in heaven. I didn't sin. I didn't do any of that. I died for you. I persevered through the cross. I endured the cross. I spat on. I was made shame of. I did all of that because I wanted to show you that against the odds, I still win. I always win. I always win. And the same Jesus that lives in me lives in you. The same Jesus that overcame all that will overcome this in you. Wherever you're at right now, God's about to transform it. And the King of Kings is watching over that. The one who knows how to play against the odds. Whenever he sees bad odds, he invests in it. He's like, man, these odds are really good. If I win this, this is going to pay out big time. Do you know how odds work? Does everyone know how odds work? So if you've got a dollar and it's 100 to 1, they're really bad odds. It means you're probably going to lose. It means you're probably not going to win. So no one usually bets on that. If you're 1 to 2, so you're every dollar you spend, you might get another dollar back. That means you're probably going to win. When Jesus sees you, he goes, man, look at the odds on this guy. That's 1,000,000 to 1. I'm going to invest heavy, and my payback is going to be huge. He doesn't just break even on you. His payback on you is huge. He invests in you. He bets on you. He sees the terrible odds in your life, and he says, I'm going to bet heavy on you and watch the payback. You've been created for his glory. You've been created for his glory, and he knows that. I'm going to move on. Jesus, the greatest story against the odds. So how will this start? Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. It will start with you and inside of you. If you feel like you're in that desert, just imagine yourself, you're planted in the middle of that desert. How does Jesus make that desert come alive? First of all, he transforms you from dead to life. And then after he does that, he becomes a wellspring of living water inside of you. And hopefully you just gush out life. And if you take that picture of the desert, and as that starts to gush out of you, it starts to just fill out over the sand. and because of that, just life starts to spring from that. So it'll start in you. Even now, I feel like God's touching some of you and saying, and starting to make this well come alive. He's about to cut whatever off doesn't need to be there so this well can come alive in you. Not that it's trickling. He wants it to burst out of you. Because the scripture says that. It says burst. It says springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams will flow in the desert. It's going to start with you. How will you get it? Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus said, if you ask of him, he will give you this water. He wants you to go to him and ask him for this. He wants to give this in your life. It takes relationship, though. It takes intimacy. It takes this place where you are willing to go to him. The Bible says that we open our door to him and we find out, hang on a minute, our door, that he's already swung open wide, his door. It's already there. It's already open. But there's something we have to do. We have to go and ask him. But he says you need to get thirsty. You have to be thirsty for this. You have to want this. You have to say, I want my life to be transformed. I want all the dry places to become wet places. I want life to burst out of me. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life abundantly. Not tomorrow. Not when you get that new car. Not when you get that job. Not when you retire. Life and life abundantly today. Jesus said, whoever comes to me and drinks of this water, I shall give him. Even that would be enough. But he goes on, he says, and he will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is what I believe God's preparing us for. He wants, I can just, you know, even as I'm standing here, it's quite funny. I can just see you guys just turning into springs of water. You guys are just bursting. I can just see these pictures coming out of you. This coming alive. This is for me, God. This is for me. This is for me. This is for me right where I'm at. This is for me right where I'm at. I don't have to move to a place where it's greener, right where it's dry and dead. You're going to make this come alive right where I am. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. I love that. Blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears unstopped. This is from Isaiah 35. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. If you feel like you're in a dry place right now, all around you is going to come alive through the overflow, through your intimacy, through that communicating with God, through that intimacy with Jesus. And it's when you have a little taste of it and your eyes are opened and you see how good God is, you'll be like, man, I need more of that. I need to have more of that. Jesus, I'm just going to keep coming back to you now. I need more of that. It says, lame men and women will leap like deer. He's talking about healing. He's talking about prophecy. He's talking about favor. He's talking about fruits of the Spirit, maturity, life and life abundantly. But you need to have faith for it. Faith without works is dead. So you can sit there until you're blue in the face and say, God is going to do this for me. But if you don't act like it, he won't. You need to step into it. So, for instance, for me, when I get up in the... I was having some really bad thoughts that got me down the other day. Some really bad thoughts. And I just took those captive and I just said, no, Jesus, you've got joy for me. And I'm going to chase after this joy with all of my heart because your word promises it. And I'm going to act like I'm joyful. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And I just kept repeating it until I'm like, no, this is the word for me. This is the word for me. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to act like it. Even when the opposite comes in front of me. If I lose my job or if things aren't going right, my action, what does my action say? What do my words say? And that's what I mean. If you believe that God is seriously going to bless you, is going to transform you, you come up to me and you'll say, I don't want you to do this just because I'm saying it. I want you to become it. But your actions about the way you talk and the way you do things will change. Even if you don't see it, they'll change. If you lose your job or something like that, or if your car breaks down, your actions will tell me everything about what you believe. What comes out of your mouth will tell me everything. You could say, oh, this is so depressing and so terrible, but I know God will come and get me. No, that's not, your actions aren't backing up what you say. God is coming for me. I can't wait to see what he does. He's always come for me before. There's no way he's not going to show up this time. I know my God, and I'm ready. My actions speak about what I believe. That's the faith. The faith. You're not doing it. It's the faith. The faith that makes you move. What you believe makes you walk. And it steps out. If I didn't believe that God was going to come and get me with my daughter, I would have said, oh, well, I can't go today, so I'm just going to pack up and just quit. I'm just going to quit because, you're right. That's not going to happen. I was like, no. God has told me, and I will do whatever it takes to get there. My actions, before it even happened, just said, God will do this. So what you believe, if you want this, you have to, by faith, you have to start taking it. You have to start chasing after him in that way. What does it look like? It looks like joy. And the other thing is, if we believe this sort of stuff, if we believe this about Every Nation Melbourne, my actions display it. Like, for instance, what I was talking about with these guys who show up every morning, 8 o'clock, 8:30, their actions display it even though they don't see it. The people who turn up, I don't want you to feel bad, but the people who turn up to prayer meeting, they understand that prayer moves God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to prayer meeting because prayer moves God. The Bible says it, so I will go and do it. I'm chasing after the transformation, and your word says that if we pray together, in the book of Acts, they all got together and they prayed and they changed a nation. They changed the way, the direction of the world. The Bible says those things. We chase after it. Your actions display what you believe. What does it look like? It looks like joy. Joy has been such a thing I've been learning about this year. I love it. I love the way God works with joy. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you, and your joy will become my joy, and I will mature your joy. And he says mature, so he's like, I'm going to build you into it. I'm going to grow you into it. It's not going to be perfect overnight. You'll get glimpses of it, and that's why you feel like this sometimes. But he said, because he's maturing you. He knows you're not going to just get it overnight. He's maturing you into it so that eventually you can just go up and just experience his joy. I'm a different man today as I was even a year ago, because of what he's done in my life, the work he's done in my life, the transforming he's done in my life to do with joy. And the way I can accept joy a lot quicker now than I used to is really cool. But the scripture says, they'll sing as they make their way home to Zion, unfading halos of joy encircling their heads, welcome homed with gifts of joy and gladness, as all sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. I just wanted to say over some of you guys that some of the sorrows and the pain and the things that have kept you down this year, God's about to flip them around and turn them into joy. Whatever's been holding you back, because he wants to position you for the blessing that he's got ready for you next year. And to do that, he needs to bring you into this place where the yesterday, that it's not forgotten, but it's no longer holding you down. That you have victory over it. Where you experience this joy. Where there was sadness, there's joy. Where there was sorrow and suffering, there's gladness. He's going to transform that around. He's going to flip it around. And you're going to be on display for his glory about what he does in these things. You're going to be up. It's not forgetting about those things. It's praising God for the victory in them. There was once a time when I'm going to be vulnerable here. I have scars on my wrist from when I suffered depression. And I prayed for years and years and years for God to remove those scars. And he reminded me one day that Jesus still has the holes in his hand. And he said, the holes are still in Jesus' hand so that he can prove to people the victory he had over that cross, the victory he had over that pain and suffering. And these scars for me have come in benefit. Because when I come across somebody who's suffering in that way and has done that to themselves, I show them my scars and I say, Jesus had victory in my life. Here's the evidence. The evidence of Jesus being alive is standing right in front of you. This is what he wants to do with all the stuff in your life. He is so amazing. I love God. I love what he's doing. I love what he's about to do. I love Jesus and what he's about to do in your life. And just as I'm standing here again, I can still see it. There is little pockets of God's bursting streams and rivers and things like that in your life. It's going to be cool. I want to hear the testimonies over the next 3 months.